Well, good afternoon. How are we doing? Doing well. Tim Nolan. Where'd Tim Nolan go? Is he hiding? Oh, there he is. Tim wanted me to take my gun off today, but I was just a little afraid with somebody like that asked me to take my weapon off. I don't. The bulletproof vest is in the car, so I was just, you never know. I mean, I'm a pretty good shot, give or take a little bit, so I mean, I might have hit him. I don't know if I would have or not. You just never know. It's my honor to come speak to you guys today, to share the Word of God. One of the probably more difficult things I've had to do for a while is to get up here and stand and talk. And I've given several talks before at great banquets. To me, those were easy because they give me a topic and said, here, talk about this. Well, when Tim asked me to do this, he says, I just come up with something. I said, oh, boy. Either I'm in trouble or you guys are in trouble for sitting here listening to me. I don't know which, but I guess we'll find out before the day's out. So. I took a speech class in college. One of the funny things that we always talk about speech class is, you know, you get up in front of a crowd, you get nervous. What are you supposed to do? Picture everybody in their underwear. Unfortunately, Mark, I wish you would have went commando today because that is not a sight that I really want in my memory when I'm standing up here talking. This is not good. It's just not good. You know what I'm saying? You guys know what I'm saying. I'm going to talk about serving your Father, meaning God the Father. I'm also going to talk about being a serving father. I have children as well, so I'm going to speak about both of those things. First scripture, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by your way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. I love that passage of Scripture because it obviously commands me. We're not supposed to sit here or not supposed to be all by ourselves and not sharing the Word of Jesus Christ. It tells us right there, go out, talk to your kids, talk to your friends, talk to your coworkers, talk to your spouse, whatever it is that's on your heart, you're supposed to go out and talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about my childhood. Try not to scare anybody too much. I'm not going to go back too far. Like it was a cloudy morning in September. I'm not going to go back that far. Nobody wants to hear that. My mother drugged me to church. I was a little bit smaller back then, so it wasn't quite much of a struggle as it is today. She wouldn't be able to do it today, but she used to drag me to church. I absolutely hated it. One of the things that, I'd always try to hide in my bed on Sunday mornings, and I'm like, no, I'm not getting out of bed. I'm sick. I'm dying. Something's happening. I never took the thermometer and put it in hot water, one of those deals. I never actually got that far, but I try to wiggle my way out of it as much as possible. Just never liked it. I went to church with my grandmother one time, and I ran away. Now, how shameful is that, running away from church? But it happens. I got through it, thank goodness. But church was never on my mind, really, never really part of my young childhood whatsoever. My father, I'm a baby of five boys. I've got four older brothers. The oldest brother's 10 years older than me, and we kind of sprinkle in there. Thankful I'm here because my mother always wanted a daughter. So the first one, no. Okay, let's try it twice, no. Let's go three times, that's it, no. Four. And then finally I came along and they gave up. It was done. Five boys was just more than they can handle, and they stopped after that. So that was enough. My father worked away from home a lot. He was a mechanic for a Kroger's for a while. We got trucked around a little bit to Detroit, Michigan, to Fort Wayne, back to Indianapolis. He was an over-the-road truck driver as well for some part for years there. So we wouldn't see him for weeks on end. So my mother was the disciplinarian. And if you all remember, some of you older guys remember, if mom got on you during the week, well, you're going to get it again when dad got home. I earned every butt beating I ever got. I'm not pointing any fingers at my father. I deserved everything. I tried to burn a house down one time. That wasn't a good idea. I learned real quick. One of the things I did learn was from my older brothers. Those guys were a little bit more mischievous than I was. So I kind of looked like, I literally watched my brother getting kicked, literally kicked down the hallway one day. And I thought, I don't think I'm going to do what he just did. I'm a quick learner that way. I'm thankful I had four older brothers that kind of did that. So my father wasn't really wasn't in my life that much growing up. 1978, my mother is diagnosed with breast cancer. Just a little kid, 7 years old at the time. I was born in 71. So my mother is diagnosed with breast cancer. Little difficult on me. My older brother's a little bit older. You know, they're 24. A couple of them are out of the house at that time. Pretty difficult for me to deal with that. I've never seen that kind of thing before. If you've never been in one of those situations where, you know, I used to go to radiation with her. I used to go to chemotherapy with her, and just hard to do. That drug out for a long time, about 8 years. She dealt with breast cancer for 8 years, losing the hair, getting the wigs, double mastectomy, just a little bit difficult for me to deal with. Well, in 1986, I was 14 years old, and she finally passed away. She was the only one, like I said, drugged me to church. So once that point was over with, I was pretty much done with that scenario. My father didn't go to church. My father later got married. She didn't go to church. So that it just wasn't part of my life to do that. Just definitely not important. The only thing I ever worried about was sports. Loved playing football, loved playing wrestling, track, did it all through 4 years of high school. That's the only thing I ever went to school for. I could have cared less about anything else. I made it through high school, went off to college. I was the only boy that ever made it to college. Thankful I did graduate from that as well. But that brings a whole other set of, we had a lot of drugs and alcohol in my life when I was younger. I mean, hell hath no fury like a little brother knocking the bong water over, if you know what I'm talking about. So that was just part of it. I started drinking when I was 13 years of age. I can remember even younger than that, about 5 years old. And my father was one of those guys, he'd sit down in the basement and watch TV, and he'd go, "Hey, boy, go get me a beer." Okay, no problem. Pass the blue ribbon. Those were back in the days when the top actually came off of it. We shoved it down in there. Well, I'd sneak me a little drink on the way down, giving it to Dad. So unfortunately, had to live through that for all my life. A lot of drugs and alcohol through high school as well. It was just part of it. It wasn't any big deal to me. My wife and I kind of laugh about it now because I have no idea how I ever made it out of that situation and not behind the bars instead of putting people behind the bars. I have no idea how I made it through that. Brothers going to prison for alcohol, addicted to crack cocaine, just a lot of different things that I just would never want to see and never want to have to deal with ever in my life. Go off to college. Well, I don't know if you guys know this, if anybody knows this. On every college campus I've ever been to, there's always been alcohol. I've never been to one that there hadn't been any alcohol. So there was no problem with that. Everybody did it. No big deals there. Church was definitely not a priority in my life at all. Come along 1991. If you guys remember what happened about February 1991, we go to war. Desert Storm, the first Desert Storm. My brother just graduated high school, and he was in the Army at the time. He went to the Army in 1987. He goes overseas. He was a combat engineer. Anybody knows what a combat engineer does? Those are the guys that are usually silly enough to go in front of everybody else, open the pathways, get the bombs out of the way, those kind of things. Cut the fences down so everybody else could kind of run in there. So I don't know what he saw pretty much over there. Thank you, Justin, for showing up. I appreciate that. Right on time. Just a cop. Just right on time, isn't he? I'm glad your talk is done so you can't embarrass me like that too, right? I love you. Just kidding. It's one of the things I thought of. I had no idea what to do. Didn't pray, didn't have a clue what to do. But I thought, I need to go to church. So in college, I would be hungover even some days on a Saturday evening or Sunday morning and still went to church. Didn't really know how to pray. Nobody's ever taught me really to do that. Was able to make it through that time. I just felt the need. I needed to be in church saying, hey, Lord, just help me. I don't know how to do it, but here I am. Help me out. I was really there more for my brother than I ever was for me. I don't know what he was seeing overseas. I could just imagine what they saw during that time. I had no idea. But I just knew that I thought I had to be there. I met my girlfriend during that time. October of 91, our first date. We still laugh about this too. You would think I'd take her to a nice romantic movie, little flowers, little dinner. I took her to Silence of the Lambs. Now, I don't know. That was... I thought it was a good movie, you know. That was about romantic as I could think of at the time. No. It was truly our first date. Went to Silence of the Lamb and then went to a haunted house. Hey, it's October. What else are you supposed to do in October? Yeah, we still laugh about that to this day as well. The only reason we went, it was a free movie at the student center. So hey, didn't have any money at that time, so hey, it was free, man, we're going. Let's take off and go. So luckily my wife is a good Christian woman, still is a good Christian woman. She had been a Christian a whole lot longer than I have. Had the opportunity to go to church with her as well. Any time I drove, I lived in the southeast corner of Indianapolis, so I wasn't from Kokomo, from this area. Didn't really have a clue what anything about Kokomo was. The only thing I knew is from Indianapolis up 31 to Galveston, and that's where I stopped. I can get right back on 35, 31 back to Indianapolis. The only thing I knew about Kokomo, Galveston, anything at all. So anyways, I'd have some opportunities to come up and spend some time with her on the weekends, and they took me to church as well. And I really, really kind of fell in love with church at that time. Getting a little bit older now, hopefully a little bit wiser, and I knew that was a place for me to... I knew that was a place for me to be. Made it through college, graduated college, and I always wanted to be a police officer from about as long as I could remember. Always wanted to do that. So I was always involved in something along the ways. Became an adult, got hired at Howard County Sheriff's Department January 95, worked in the jail for a little while. Still went to church, thank goodness. I was working midnights at the time, so I would work Saturday nights, get off at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, and then I'd go to church. The only thing I hated to see was that long prayer that the pastor did, because I'd lower my head, and sometimes it was a long time to come back up, because I'm like, I'm asleep here. And my wife, or girlfriend then, wife now, would have to kind of kick me around a little bit to kind of wake me back up. But we made it through. Definitely, definitely loved attending church with her and her family as well. We were married in May of 95. Don't tell her I said January of 95. May of 1995, and after that time is when I became a Christian. I sat there in the pews, kind of a pew rider like somebody else, or other people probably sitting in this room as well. Rode the pew for a while, and I thought, you know, it is really laid on my heart to say the sinner's prayer. 1995 was when I finally took that step, walked up to the front of the church and said, here I am, I'm head deep into being a Christian. Loved every minute of it. Later on that year, I was baptized. I felt like I needed to have that outward showing of an inward feeling. Was baptized in that church as well. Married, baptized. My wife is baptized. Both of my children have been baptized. 1997, I had my first child. That was an absolute trip. I didn't deal with kids very well. So I'm glad my friends and other people around to help me through that time. My second child comes along in 2000. A little bit easier at that time. We were taking our kids to church, loving every bit of that. What I felt was laying on my heart was my God-given mission was to be involved in my child's life, my children's lives. My parents necessarily weren't. My mother was sick during that time. My father was away. Weren't involved that much in my life during that time. But I really felt like that was my calling. That was my mission, to take care of my children, make sure they grow up in the church, make sure they know Jesus Christ, and make sure they follow that pathway. When I'm thinking about doing this talk as well, I thought, okay, what in the heck am I going to talk about that anybody wants to listen to? So what I usually done, and what I've done for some of my great banquet talks, is I usually kind of give myself a lesson. So anytime I point at you guys, What's that saying? There's three fingers pointing back at me, so don't think I'm pointing at any one person. I'm kind of pointing at myself as well. You guys are just along for the ride, and I appreciate you guys showing up to listen to me babble about my life. Who has children in here? Everybody has children. Let's stand up. I know you guys got your bellies full of pizza. We got to stand up. Anybody with kids in here? Grandkids, you got to stand up here. Nieces and nephews, I see a few people still sitting down. Nieces and nephews, did I finally catch you? How about, do you know any children? Anybody that knows a child that you can deal with, you can stand up as well. I appreciate it very much. Go ahead and have a seat. Psalms 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not put them to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. Children are a reward. I've got two teenage daughters now. I'm still trying to get past that reward thing. You guys that have had teenagers, I don't know, reward, punishment, I'm still trying to figure that out, but for the most part, it has been a reward for me to do that. We have always taken our kids to church. I've always wanted to be involved in my kids' church. The Awana groups on Wednesday nights, the Sunday schools have been involved, helping with Sunday schools. Christian Ed Committee, I felt like there was a calling that I needed to be involved in that as well. Anything to do with my kids, I knew I was going to do. I didn't want to go down the pathway of what I was used to growing up. I knew that there was a better way of doing things. Girl Scouts. Boy, I tell you what. Anybody who's ever been involved with Girl Scouts with their girls, that is a real test of manhood, I tell you what. I'm sitting down there, because we would help with Girl Scouts as well. I'm sitting down there, my legs crossed, crisscross applesauce, you know, and, you know, putting the three fingers up, doing the Girl Scout pledge. Believe me, that was a true test of manhood to sit there and do that. But it didn't matter, because I knew I was helping my kids, leading my children, and I knew that was my calling to do that. Soccer. Girls want to be involved in soccer. Hey, absolutely. Don't know a clue. I have no clue about soccer. Don't even like and watch soccer on TV. But I knew I needed to be there. I needed to be with them. I needed to be showing them the way to do it. So I helped doing the soccer thing. Softball. Been involved with softball the last 9 years. Loved every bit of it. Being out there, not only for my children, but I know some of the families that the kids that I deal with, they are looking for an adult in their life too. There's a lot. Unbelievable, a lot of single parent families. And it's just sad to see what those kids have to deal with. That there's not a father figure in their life. That there's not a Christian man in their life. So I kind of look as my calling too, is not only my children, but any children I come across, as I want to help lead those as well. I know a couple of you guys, you didn't stand up when there was kids. Maybe that'll go for you one day, but I'm still saying there's still a calling for you guys. Be involved with your nieces or nephews. Be involved with the neighbor's kids. Be involved with the kid down the street. Doesn't matter. These kids are looking for somebody, looking for a good influence in their life, not a bad influence. We know they can follow that real well. Idle hands are the devil's workshop, as my university professor used to say all the time. If they're not out doing something good, then they might be out doing something bad. So we need to make sure they're involved in something. Video games are fun for a little bit. I did that for a while. But I hope that that's not the only thing our kids get involved in nowadays. Cheerleading. Oh, boy. Another test of manhood. I tell you what. My youngest kid's involved in cheerleading. So the last couple, my kids go to Lewis Cass. So obviously they're doing pretty well in basketball this year. So go Kings. Anybody graduated Cass? So you guys hate me right now for saying the Cass thing? Anyways, that's all right. That's not a problem. Hey, there he is. We got one over there. Thank goodness. You got my back before I leave here, right? I hope you do. But I've helped decorate for cheerleading. There's a lot of kids involved in that as well. And they're the same boat. They're missing something in their life. They're maybe not a father involved in their life. I'm going to show up. I'll hang a little stuff on there. Hang up, blow balloons. Whatever it takes to be involved in my children's life. I just, like I said, I felt it has been a calling for me to do that. Band. Love band. My kids are both involved in band as well. I've drug more instruments around. I've drug more props around. I've drove the trailers. Anybody that's had band kids, you know how, especially a Western maybe band kid, Northwestern band kid, they get absolutely nuts. Cass is the same way. I thought I was getting into this. You know, football and that kind of stuff were the main things in my school. My goodness, if you're not in the band up there, you're about spit on to do that, you know. So I was definitely want to be involved in the band as well. Anybody taught their child how to drive? That was a little shaky to say. Now I remember when I took driver's ed, there was a second brake pedal on the passenger. You remember that? There was a second brake pedal. Man, I've tried to hit that thing so many times. I'm like, oh, stop, you got it, stop. But finally she did. I've not been hurt. We've not crashed the van yet. That old poop bar on the side, I about pulled that thing off a few times too. So if you want a true test of your Christian upbringing, teach a kid to drive. I'm telling you what, that will test that, to say the least. And I'm not looking forward to the second one yet either. But it's been fun, because like I said, anything I can do to help my children out, I think that's my calling. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way she should go. Even when she is old, she will not depart from it. I know I paraphrased there a little bit, because I got my two girls, so I had to put she's in there, so I didn't get in trouble when I got home. Psalms 78:1-4. Listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ears to what I tell you. I'm chewing on the morsels of the proverb. I will let you in on a sweet old truth, stories we heard from our fathers, counsel we learned from our mother's knee. We're not keeping this to ourselves. I don't see anywhere in there that we're supposed to keep that to ourselves. We're passing along to the next generation God's fame and fortune, the marvelous things he has done. I love it. We are not keeping this to ourselves. We are passing it along to the next generation of God's children. There's a calling there. Hopefully everybody has some kind of calling to do that. We are not to keep this to ourselves. We are to pass it along. You guys can kind of remember how the houses were built many moons ago. You used to have big porches on the front of the house. What do you do in the summertime? You sit, kids played outside, you sit on the front porch. What's happened the last several years? Well, the front porch is a tiny little stoop. We built big decks out back, right? So that's where people go. We spend time on the deck. And then the last few years, what have we done? Now we got 15-foot high privacy fences. What happened? Believe me, I do the same thing. I get home from my work. I don't use the front door. I push a button. I drive in my drive. I shut the grower behind me, and I'm in my house. We are somewhat hidden sometimes. You don't see kids playing down the street, I don't think, as much as you used to. We used to be out on the front porch and helping other kids. I remember being disciplined by our neighbors growing up, and I remember my parents doing the same thing somewhat to other kids. Nowadays, we go in that house, we hide, we go watch TV. Not that that's bad. We go play on the computer or whatever we're involved in, our hobbies. We just get kind of sucked into that house, and we hide in there sometimes. I don't remember anywhere in Psalms does it say we're supposed to hide. Not whatsoever. Not that saying it's bad. We need a break every once in a while. Sometimes by the time I get done from work, I could care less to talk to anybody because I've talked to too many people during the day. And I'm a little bit of a sweater here, so it is not contagious whatsoever. Okay? So I'm not like a leper or anything like that. I've got enough insulation that I could sweat brushing my teeth in the morning. So it's not, after a while, it's not a big deal. Psalms 103:13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Our Father shows compassion to us for those that show compassion to their children. I also have a new mission in my life, dealing with my father. He's 77 years old now. He's got one foot on a banana peel, and the next one is just about ready to go in the grave. He's had health problems, heart attacks, all kinds of issues as far as that goes. He is not a Christian. Like I said, he didn't take me to church. We've never prayed together. I don't think he's ever actually said he loved me any time in my life. Could never think of anything like that. But I think it's also a mission, not only just to serve my children, but it's also a mission to make sure my father goes where I pray that he will go. So it's not like, oh, yeah, I just my kids, and that's all I got to worry about, my only family. I've got to worry about my father as well. Talked to him many times. And that's very difficult for some of, especially the older guys nowadays. When you were a child, you were seen and not heard. You didn't talk to adults. I have a hard time talking to my parents. or my father. I have a hard time talking to my aunts and uncles because you just didn't do that. We had a family get together last year where I haven't seen my aunts and uncles for, 20 years, some of them. I have no idea what to tell you, We can talk about the weather, I guess, because really, it's growing up, we just never talked to them. They saw you, but get out of the house and go take off. So that was very difficult for me to talk to my father to do that. I've also given my father a Bible, and I know some of you are going to say, well, that's great. I didn't just throw a Bible at him and say, here you go. Because I know what that's going to do. You're never going to crack that baby open. You're never going to look at it. So what I did is wrote down some scriptures on there as well to say, go look for this. Go look for that. You're talking about, jumping dead feet into Christianity. Go look at this kind of thing. There's things that I wanted him to read. Unfortunately, the binder hasn't been cracked on that thing. I think it's a paperweight on his desk. It's still there if he needs to. I wrote my father a letter as well, giving him basically one of those Romans road to salvation. Always still staying. I want him to keep that in his mind all the time I can think of. We don't speak that much, but I know that letter is still at the house. I know the Bible is there, still with Scripture. All that is there. I get involved or have been involved with the Great Banquet in Logansport quite a bit. I invited my father to the Great Banquet this last time. He said yes. I thought, well, that's fantastic, man. I finally started getting my foot in the door, finally got going. A few days before the banquet, he calls me up and says, I don't feel good. Those excuses. Some of you guys have been to the Great Banquet. You've said them. You've heard them. Other people have said it. I said it for 3 years before I ever went. My wife finally drugged me to the Great Banquet, kicking and screaming. But she finally got me to go. So it took a while. But hopefully, like I said, I always want to stay involved. I always want to keep Jesus Christ on my mind, my children's mind. And I always want to keep Jesus Christ on my father's mind as well. My favorite ever scripture is Luke 1:37. For nothing is impossible with God. I never want to give up. I love that. For nothing is impossible with God. We're never going to keep doing things that we know that we're supposed to do. We're never going to stop talking to people. We're never going to stop helping our children. We're never going to stop talking to our fathers. Whatever it takes to do that. There are great truths in serving the Lord. We all have capabilities. I know Justin talked about it about 3 weeks ago. God will always equip the people he calls to come talk. God will always equip us to either stand up here or sit in your chair and have accountability partners by the people you're sitting next to. He will always equip you to talk to your children. He will always equip you to talk to your neighbors. He will always equip you to talk to your coworkers. He will always equip you to do whatever he knows that you need to do. There's great joy in serving the Lord. Psalms 35:27. May those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, the Lord be exalted. Who delights in the well-being of his servant? There's great joy in serving the Lord. We should always respond with joy. Philemon 1:7. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Great joy. Nobody wants to hear the complainers. Everybody hurts. You know what pain is? Pain just lets you know that you're not dead yet. Everybody's going to have pain in their life. There's always going to be that. Nobody wants to hear the complainers. I call it the Eeyore syndrome. Everybody watched, Eeyore growing up. Oh, God, it's Tuesday. Oh, it's Wednesday. Oh, it's Thursday. You know those people I'm talking about. Nobody wants to hear that. Yes, we complain every once in a while. Yes, we kind of worry about things once in a while. But my goodness, respond with joy, especially when you're talking about Jesus Christ. Nothing says you're supposed to poo-poo anything. Never read that anywhere in my life. The glass half empty, half full kind of people. If I only had this, if I only had more money, if I only did this, if I only was married to the right person, if my kids were only did this. Not good. People will watch you. Sometimes we are the worst people when people are watching us because people that are, especially that are not Christians, will watch what you do, how you talk, where you go, what you watch on TV, what you read in the book. The way I've always thought about and have said many times, anything that I'm involved in, anything that I do, I picture my kids being with me. I got my two daughters. Where am I going to take my two daughters? Not going to be the hip hugger. Right? You know, not pointing any fingers at anybody, because believe me, I've done that stuff too. Not pointing any fingers. But anything that I do in my life, what I read, what I watch on TV, what I talk about, and I slip every once in a while, believe me, I'm not perfect by any means. I learned to cuss 20 years before I became a Christian. I learned to drink 20 years before I became a Christian. So believe me, those things are very entrenched in my life, and it's hard, they just bubble up every once in a while. But believe me, I know my kids are watching. I was home about 3 months ago working on my wife's van. She had a water hose busted. Well, one thing I did learn from my father was how to cuss very well. You guys ever heard the thing, cussing like a drunken sailor? Well, my dad invented that, okay? He was a sailor, and he sure knew how to cuss. He definitely did that. We used to work on cars together, and he says, the only thing I can do right is cuss. Well, that was. So here I am in my garage working on my car, and I feel my father bubbling up inside me. So, oop, something slipped. Oop. Well, lo and behold to me, didn't realize my 16-year-old daughter is standing on the other side of the door. So, finally she pops that door open. Dad! Sorry, your grandfather was here just a little bit ago, and he had to leave. He's gone now. They will watch you, believe me. I know they will. I was hoping he was going to slip in there and slip out before they ever heard it, but by God, they did. It just bubbles up every once in a while. It happens. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. One of my other favorite scriptures is Ephesians 6:11. You've all probably heard that before. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I always kind of picture myself like a soldier from many, many years ago. You got that shield you put on. You got that armor you're putting on. We got to put that on every day. Everything that we do, we got to put that full armor of God, because I guarantee you, and I know it, I felt it myself, that as Christians, we know we're going to get attacked. Every day we're going to get attacked. My goodness, if you don't get attacked while you're looking at your email on the computer, I don't know what email you have. I'd love to have it, because there's all kinds of garbage you see out there. Show me a TV show that doesn't have some scantily dressed woman. I don't think you can find it. You go to the ABC Family Channel or whatever that thing is. My goodness, I can't even watch that. Because you're supposed to be a family channel, right? No, I don't think so. Some of that stuff they do. Even some of those Cartoon Networks. My goodness, if you stay up late, I usually go to bed about 8:30. That's late enough for me, I'm out. But if you stay up late enough and watch comedy or the Cartoon Network, believe me, you're going to see it there as well. We have a mission in life. That is to know Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, and to make Him known. Let me say that again. We have a mission in life, and that is to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and to make Him known. Right there, we have a mission to do that, whether it's my kids or, like I said, your coworkers or the neighbor down the street, wherever it is. We need to share the love of Christ with that person that we know needs to hear that. Some of you guys have probably seen that Courageous movie. It came out about 2011. Not a bad cop movie. There was some pretty decent cop stuff in there. Sometimes the cop shows get a little silly on what we do. Not all that's true, so don't think all that cop stuff is truly what we do. If you remember the last scene from that movie, he's up on the stage. They've already done their resolution. If anybody hasn't seen it, go rent it. I'm sure it's probably Redbox or wherever it is. But the final, or get on Google or YouTube and say Courageous final scene, and you'll hear this. This is his speech. I didn't make this up. A father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect, and should call out to his children to become responsible men and women who love their lives for what matters in eternity. I didn't hear anything about soccer. Didn't hear anything about Girl Scouts. Didn't hear anything about band. We should call out to our children to become responsible men and women who love their lives for what matters. What truly matters is our eternity. Where are we going when we leave here? We can't wait another second to make that switch in our lives. We could walk out here on Mulberry Street or Walnut Street or wherever, get run over and it's all over with. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it, but I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence He has given you. You cannot fall asleep at the wheel, only to wake up in one day and realize that your job, your hobbies, have no eternal value. But the souls of your children do. There's only a short amount of time that we have with our children. Very short. I thought my dad was crazy years ago when he said, "Man, time flies." I said, "No, it don't." I couldn't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday, let alone what I've done since my kids have been alive. Have no idea. It's a very short amount of time, and we need to do that today. Some men will hear this and agree, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in our past, I've read the Bible a little bit. I know you people have done that as well. Has anybody ever seen a picture of a rearview mirror in the Bible? Never have. We don't need to look at what has happened in the past. I don't need to look at what happened to me as a child. I don't need to look at that stuff. There is no rearview mirror. I don't need to look back. I can remember that stuff. I want that to go away. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did or did not do, will give us strength of the arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are and to teach our children to do the same. And whenever possible, love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who are desperately need help in that direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask. You don't have to ask anybody in my household who will guide my family, because I know by God's grace I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my daughters to follow Jesus Christ, because I know who that is. I will do that. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting for my family? I will stand up and do that. Who will ask to break the chains of the destructive patterns in my family's history? I will do that. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am my children's father. I will do that. I will accept this responsibility, and it's my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and His blessings in my home. Any good man does. So where are the men of courage? Where are you fathers who fear the Lord? It is time to rise up and answer the call that God has given you and say that I will, I will, I will. Let's stand up. Lord, dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for bringing me here today. I hope that something I've said along the way has touched somebody in this room, Lord. It is my prayer that we all serve you. We are servants of your great kingdom, that we should never forget that. I pray that I will always serve my earthly father as well and my earthly parents. I pray that I will always serve my children as long as I can live, that I will always protect them, Lord. I pray for the men in this room that I hope that something that I've said today, something that you have worked through me, Lord, that has touched somebody in this room, Lord. I just pray that we watch over our children. We know there's things out there that we know they're going to get in trouble. We know there's a lot of things that they see, a lot of things they hear, a lot of things they do that will cause the devil just to squeak in that door just a little bit and to cause problems for my family and everybody's family. Lord, again, I pray for the men here that they will guide their families, they will cherish their families, they will always lead their families for everything that they've ever done. Lord, I pray for a hedge of protection around every man in this room, Lord, that you always shine your love down on us. I pray for the blood of Jesus Christ that has fallen on me, Lord, and I pray that for all the men in this room as well. We want to feel your love in our heart. We know Jesus came to this earth to die for our sins, Lord. I pray that you wash those away. You get rid of that rearview mirror, that we don't look back to the past anymore. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for all that you do. Again, I even pray for all the men that weren't able to come here today. I just pray that for safe travel of whatever that situation is, Lord. Again, I thank you, Lord Father, for all that you do. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.